Translation. King Yudhishthira, who was much aggrieved, could not be convinced despite instructions by great sages headed by Vyasa and the Lord Krishna himself, the performer of superhuman feats, and despite all historical evidence. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. The pious King Yudhishthira was mortified because of the mass massacre of human beings in the battle of Kurukshetra, especially on his account. Duryodhana was there on the throne, and he was doing well in his administration. And in one sense, there was no need of fighting. But on the principle of justice, Yudhishthira was to replace him. The whole clique of politics centered around this point, and all the kings and residents of the whole world became involved in this fight between the rival brothers. Lord Krishna was also there on the side of King Yudhishthira. It is said that in the Mahabharata Adi Parva that 640 million men were killed in the 18 days of the Battle of Kurukshetra, and some hundreds of thousands were missing. Practically, this was the greatest battle in the world within the 5,000 years. This mass killing simply to enthrone Maharaja Yudhishthira was too mortifying, so he tried to be convinced with evidence from histories by the great sages like Vyasa and the Lord himself that the fight was just because the cause was just. But Maharaja Yudhishthira would not be satisfied, even though he was instructed by the greatest personalities of the time. Krishna is designated herein as the performer of superhuman actions. But in this particular instance, neither he nor Vyasa could convince King Yudhishthira. Does it mean that he failed to be a superhuman actor? No, certainly not. The interpretation is that the Lord as Ishvara, or the super soul in the hearts of both King Yudhishthira and Vyasa, performed still more superhuman action because the Lord desired it. As super soul, the King Yudhishthira, he did not allow the king to be convinced by the words of Vyasa and others, including himself, because he desired that the king hear instructions from the dying Bhishma Dev, who was another great devotee of the Lord. The Lord wanted that at the last stage of his material existence, the great warrior Bhishma Dev see him personally and see his beloved grandchildren, King Yudhishthira, etc., now situated on the throne and thus pass away very peacefully. Bhishma Dev was not at all satisfied to fight against the Pandavas, who were his beloved fatherless grandchildren. But the Kshatriyas are also very stern people, and therefore he was obliged to take the side of Duryodhana because he was maintained at the expense of Duryodhana. Besides this, the Lord also desired that King Yudhishthira be pacified by the words of Bhishma Deva, so that the world could see that Bhishma Deva excelled all in knowledge, including the Lord himself. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vyasadhyari svare hagyai krishninad bhutakarmana prabodhito piti hasair nabudhyata sucharpita. King Yudhishthira, who was much aggrieved, could not be convinced, despite instructions by great sages headed by Vyasa and the Lord Krishna himself, the performer of superhuman feats, and despite all historical evidence. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Shatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Ajanu Lambita Bujokana Kavadatu Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Daksha Vishwam Barodvijavaro Yuga Dharma Palu Vandei Jagat Priya Karo Kurana Avataru Yandah pravishya mama vachya mama prasuptam sanjeevaya takila shakti darakswadamna anyamsya hasta charana shravana tvagadim prananamo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam. Hare Krishna. So we're reading this first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and the whole first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is describing the adhikar tattva, the qualification for hearing, speaking, and understanding Srimad Bhagavatam. Because to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, one has to have certain qualifications. And if we analyze very thoroughly the stories which are there in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we will see that they all fit into this plot. From the very beginning, the qualification of Shaunaka Rishi as the main hearer of Srimad Bhagavatam, and Suta Goswami was described. Then Narada Muni and Vyasadev, there is another Srimad Bhagavatam between them was described. And in the meantime, their qualification is defined. And ultimately, the highest possible hearer and speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami and Maharaja Parikshit, their qualification is being described. So in this part of the first canto, this whole last section of many chapters, starting from the 8th chapter or even 7th chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam till the end, the qualification of the hearer, Maharaja Parikshit, is being described. Through his ancestry, through his lineage, and through his own personal qualifications, through his life, it's interesting that a qualification of Shukadev Goswami is described very briefly. Even though it is mentioned that he was very renounced and he was completely absorbed in the bliss of Brahman, still he was attached to the Krishna Katha, to hearing about Krishna. But then the qualification of hearer, Maharaja Parikshit, is much more elaborately described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Because for us it's more important to understand how we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. What should be our qualification to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, so that the ultimate success of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam will come to our life. Because ultimate success of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is love of Godhead. And it's not that easy. You know, love of Godhead is a very high achievement. But if we hear properly, if the hearing is done in a proper way and in a proper mood, with the proper qualification, then definitely there is no doubt about it. Love of Godhead will come to our heart. And here in this particular chapter and in the next chapter, it's very interesting. Before describing the life of Maharaja Parikshit and his qualifications, his lineage is described, and this side stories, so to speak, side stories, they contribute very much to understand this subject matter. Because basically, if we see the prayers of Queen Kunti, the prayers of Queen Kunti describe how one should live. in this world and how one should pray during his life. And then the next chapter, prayers of Bhishma Dev or passing away of Bhishma Dev, describe how one should die in this world and what about one should pray during his death. But in the beginning, of course, we should know how one should live. Queen Kunti in her prayers illustrates this, how the life should be, you know, all the difficult events of our life, and everyone's life is difficult. Maybe not as difficult as Queen Kunti's life, but still, you know, sometimes people, they, being very enthusiastic neophyte devotees, they say, you know, they pray with Queen Kunti, oh, my Lord, send difficulties in my life, please, so that I could remember about you. No need to pray. They will come anyways. Don't worry. The point is not difficult. The point is to remember about the Lord during the difficulties, which is not guaranteed when the difficulties come. And of course, and she describes very beautifully her prayer, the prayer of your heart is that in these difficulties, please remember, please help me to remember about you. Please let my consciousness always flow towards you without any cessation. And that's the perfection of the life, because we know that there are so many distractions in life. You know, when we have stressful situation, or when we have happy situation, we forget about the Lord very easily. You know, there is so much stress there, and we have to remember about so many things. There is hardly any time to remember about the Lord. Even when we chant Hare Krishna mantra, somehow or other we conveniently forget about the Lord. We chant his name, but we don't remember about him. There is no consciousness invested into this chanting. And that's the biggest problem which we have. So she is explaining to us what should be the desire of our heart. Usually we pray to the Lord, give us this, give us that, improve this situation, make me healthy, make me wealthy, make me, you know, bring me husband or wife, and then help me to divorce them, and, you know, so many prayers are there, you know, all the time. It's good to, at least we have some excuses to remember about him, but in reality, the prayer should be, help me to remember about you all the time. Help my consciousness to flow towards you without any break or sensation. That should be the prayer. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then, of course, if we do this, then the glorious death is awaiting for us. Usually death is not a very glorious event. It's a very sad event, because still there are so many attachments, and it's so difficult. And first and foremost, the attachment towards the body, you know, it's so strong. But we can see this in the next chapter, the description of glorious death of Bhishma Dev, who was absolutely not attached. And actually to describe his glory, Lord Krishna himself wanted to stress or to announce to the whole world the glory of Bhishma Dev through this pastime with Maharaja Yudhishthir. So this whole arrangement of the Lord is very interesting. There are many elements of this story which are quite interesting. First of all, it is said that Maharaja Yudhishthira could not be pacified. by anyone. Vyasadeva was there, and Vyasadeva was telling him different stories. And Narada Muni was there, and Narada Muni was trying to cite different examples. And then Krishna himself was trying to pacify Maharaj Yudhishthira. In Mahabharata, this whole context is being described more elaborately. Maharaj Yudhishthira was very much aggrieved while remembering the whole history of the whole of the Mahabharata war. And he was saying, because of me, Abhimanyu was killed. And because of me, the five sons of Draupadi were killed. And because of me, because of my greed, so many other people were killed. And Dronacharya was killed. And how he was killed? He was killed because I said that Ashwatthama is dead. And of course I said the elephant Ashwatthama. But I did say it in a very, you know, low voice. You know, why all of a sudden would I say to Dronacharya, Ashwatthama the elephant is killed? Definitely there was a crookedness in these words. And he was so remorseful. And then he says that even Bhishma was killed. And he was remembering this again and again and again. And this is all because of me. And then Vyasadeva started pacifying him and saying, you know, please don't be so aggrieved, because it's the destiny. Don't attribute too much importance to your own actions. Because everyone, Vyasadeva was saying, that everyone was born with certain destiny. And they just, you know, it's not you. You didn't kill them. And Vyasadeva started telling some ancient history. It's actually very interesting, because usually when we read Mahabharata, they never tell you instructions directly. They start telling that, you know, some time ago Janaka Maharaj was there, and he was also aggrieved. And then his minister started pacifying. In this way of instructing people, we are circumventing their ego. You know, if we start telling somebody directly some instructions, the ego will revolt, because ego is not very eager to hear some direct instructions. But if you describe the instructions which was given to King Janaka, then you can hear it without the resistance of false ego. It's much easier to understand, you know, you hear, and at the same time you hear the instruction and you understand the instruction. So Vyasadeva started telling this story about King Janaka and his minister, how his minister was trying to pacify King Janaka. And basically King Janaka asked, you know, what to do if we lose our near and dear ones. And, you know, his minister started saying, his name was Asta, started saying, you know, don't worry, you know, it's just happens. The only problem which we have is not grief. The only problem which we have is not happiness. The only problem which we have is our reaction to grief and happiness. Our emotions which we attribute to something, to the causes of grief and happiness. And basically the instruction of Vyasadeva was, don't grieve. And don't get into much happiness. When we're happy, we think, you know, oh, I'm so powerful. And when something bad comes, we think, oh, I'm so useless. But it's not this. It's actually very interesting what Vyasadeva told him. Vyasadeva told him that either in grief or in happiness, the only thing which you should ask yourself, who I am. You shouldn't ask why this happens to me. Why did it happen to me? You know, what, you know, you should ask, who I am? Who I am? Just coming back to this point, I am the spirit soul. I am the soul. Because we shouldn't allow our consciousness to be absorbed in all these events of our life too much. We should always remember, I am the spirit soul. And my prime relationship, foremost relationship, is with Krishna. Not just, you know, allow this turmoil of the events of our life to completely carry away our mind. And he said, just, you know, the life is completely mysterious. Vyasadev said to Maharaj Yudhishthir, you're grieving, you know, but the life is mysterious. There is, you know, the Ayurvedic physicians, they also have disease. Even though they follow very carefully all the diet and everything, they eat very properly, they still get disease. And all their relatives get disease and die. You know? And then rich people, they also die. And they also, and he says sometimes rich people, they don't have children, and poor people, they have so many children. And, you know, the life is so topsy-turvy. It's always, you know, something is wrong in this life. Don't grieve. There is no need to grieve. The only thing which you should ask again and again and again, who I am? Where I am going? So that was the attempt. And then Narada Muni was telling some strange story to Maharaj Yudhishthira. Still he was not pacified. Then ultimately Arjuna kind of, you know, said to Krishna, Krishna, you try. It didn't work, you know. Vyasadev tried, didn't work. Narada Muni tried, didn't work. And Krishna very diligently, you know, started saying, you know, why are you grieving? Everyone is dying. So many kings died. You know, so many kings, everyone is dying. Why are you grieving? Stop grieving. And didn't work. So what happened next? Ultimately, Maharaj Yudhishthira, he agreed to ascend to the throne. And, you know, there was royal procession and Krishna was there and all the Pandavas was there. And it was very, you know, glorious procession. They entered Hastinapur. And at that time, among all the citizens who were greeting Maharaj Yudhishthira, there was one Rakshasa. The name of this Rakshasa was Charvaka. And he was dressed in sannyas clothes. And he had his danda. And when Maharaj Yudhishthira was proceeding there, you know, after being victorious in the war and to be ascended to the throne, all of a sudden this Charvaka, he stepped forward. And he looked very sternly at Maharaj Yudhishthira and he said, on behalf of all these brahmanas which are there, I'm speaking not on myself, I'm speaking on behalf of all these brahmanas, and I curse you, you wretched Maharaja Yudhishthira, because you killed all your relatives. And you think you will be happy by killing all your relatives. And Maharaja Yudhishthira was completely shocked. And he said, oh, please don't curse me. You know, and then all of there was a great turmoil. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gornita ki jai. Maharaj Yudhishthira was completely, you know, because he was thinking about this, and now, you know, some sannyasi is coming forward and saying, I am speaking on behalf of all the brahmanas, I am cursing you on behalf of all the brahmanas. And then all brahmanas started, you know, there was a great uproar, and they said, we didn't empower this guy to curse you. Don't listen to him. He's a rakshasa. He is a demon. He's a friend of Duryodhana, you know, and they all cursed this rakshasa, and this rakshasa fell dead right there. But, you know, it's definitely not a very auspicious event, you know, during your coronation ceremony. So that added some emotional, that was had some emotional impact on Maharaj Yudhishthira. So he wanted to die. He said, I will starve to death. I will sit down and I will emaciate myself till I die, and this is the only way. And he even said, Bhima will be the next emperor. when I die, let Bhima rule. So, and what happens then, it's very interesting, because one morning when Maharaj Yudhishthira was determined, he started fasting, because Vyasadeva told him, if you want to, you know, eradicate your sins, if you want to wash away the sins, you just fast. Just fast for a few days and then all the sins will be gone. So Maharaj Yudhishthira started fasting, and one morning he came to Krishna. And he saw Krishna and he started greeting Krishna, and he said, Krishna, how are you? How was your night? And you are the Lord of the universe. What are you doing? And Krishna was sitting there in his sofa, bedecked with jewels and gold. And he didn't react. For a long time, Maharaj Yudhishthira was asking him some questions, and Krishna was still silent, and his eyes were closed. And ultimately, Maharaj Yudhishthira realized that he's in a meditation. And then after a long time, Krishna opened his eyes. And at that moment, Maharaj Yudhishthira asked, can I please know what you were meditating about? The whole universe is meditating upon you. What you were meditating about? There must be something really serious happening somewhere in the universe. You must be, you were so absorbed. And he said to him, I saw that your hairs were standing on end and tears were flowing from your eyes. What was happening? If I'm allowed to know what was happening within your heart, what was there? Please reveal me this secret. And Krishna said, I was meditating about Bhishma Dev. How this old man is lying on the bed of arrows and how he is thinking about me. Because I was reciprocating with his thoughts. He's thinking about me, how I cannot think about him. Because he's thinking about me, I'm constantly thinking about him. I cannot finish thinking about him. Because he's so intensely thinking about me. And of course, there is a great lesson in this particular episode. Because, you know, who would like that God would think about him? Does anyone would like that God would sometimes think about us? You know, it would be nice, isn't it? You know, to be sure. And here, of course, it is being explained the way. If we see our own psychology and life, we always want other people to think about us. You know, wife always wants that husband would think about her. And husband wants, or sometimes he doesn't want that wife would think about him. But definitely wife always wants the husband. And there is this game of life that we want others to think about us. Somehow or other we want that we would be in the center of other people's consciousness. All these people who are, you know, all the stars and everyone, they somehow or other they feel great enjoyment if they force others to think about them. But here is the secret being revealed by Krishna himself. If we want others to think about us, we should think about them. We should care about them. You know, and especially here, this is a very dramatic episode and occurrence. You know, Bhishma Dev is laying in the bed of arrows, and when you're so pained and when you're so, you know, in the last moment of your life, you probably have a lot of self-pity. You know, when we get little disease, we have this self-pity. Why did it happen to me, you know? I was chanting Krishna's name sometimes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Why did it happen to me? Why did this disease come to me? Why did it happen to me? You know, out of all, Bhishma had probably more rights to think like this. Why did it happen to me? You know, how did I deserve such an end? Laying on the bed of arrows at the, you know, at the end of such a pure life. I'm a Mahajan. You know, Bhishma could have thought like this. I'm Mahajan. You know? Why did it happen to me? No, he was, this grateful heart was thinking about Krishna. How great Krishna is. And therefore he didn't even feel pain. His consciousness was completely absorbed in Krishna. And Krishna, in this episode, he's saying, he's thinking about me. You know, how can I not think about him? There is a very interesting part of this, or the purport to this. In Jaiva Dharma of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, towards the end, the question is asked, among the devotee and God, who should take the initiative? Who should start loving whom first? the particular question which was asked about Purvarag. Purvarag is the love and separation before meeting. And the question was asked, who should experience Purvarag or the longing for meeting first? Is it God or the devotee? And the answer was given that in normal relationship, man and woman relationship, the initiative usually comes from the man. The man, he initiates relationship. Basically, the question, very important question which is asked, who initiates the relationship? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he writes there that in normal relationship, usually it's men who initiates relationship because men are very aggressive and they, you know, they look at somebody and say, okay, she's nice, okay, let me think about her. But he said, but in a spiritual relationship, it's woman who initiates the relationship or it's a devotee who initiates the relationship. Actually, the initiative should come from us, and Krishna will reciprocate. There is no doubt about it. We should start first thinking about him. He will reciprocate to the thinking about him. And here we see this is being depicted in this story, how Bhishmadev is thinking about Krishna and how Krishna is saying to Maharaj Yudhishthira, you know, he's always thinking about me, and I cannot stop thinking about him. Krishna himself says, "Let's go see him." Let's go see him. And Maharaj Yudhishthira says, "Oh, that's a great idea. Let's go see him." So here we see very interesting dynamic, as Srila Prabhupada describes here, is that Krishna actually has this plan and idea from the very beginning. Because he is Ishvara, he is the super soul in the hearts of everyone. He didn't allow Maharaj Yudhishthira to be pacified by all these endeavors which were there. And as Prabhupada says, Krishna is called here Adbhuta Karmana, somebody who performs unbelievable, very wonderful feats. And the wonderful feat which he performed in this particular episode is that he didn't allow Maharaj Yudhishthira to be pacified, to be free from grief. Despite him speaking, despite Vyasadev speaking, despite Narada Muni was speaking, he didn't allow to be pacified from grief or to be relieved from grief, because again, he wanted Bhishmadev to do this particular thing to glorify Bhishmadev. And, the main idea here is that how magnanimous Krishna is, how kind he is, and how his reciprocation is overwhelming, you know. He just here wants to glorify Bhishmadev so that everyone in the world would read this and would glorify Bhishmadev, how he was able to pacify Maharaja Yudhishthira and how great devotee he was. There is always, we know, this competition between the Lord and the devotee. Devotee wants to glorify the Lord sincerely from the heart. He wants to, you know, to glorify the Lord, and the Lord wants to glorify the devotee. There is no need to try to, you know, glorify yourself or whatever, do anything yourself. Everything is being done, is being accomplished just by thinking about Krishna. The only thing which we should do, which we should learn in this life, there is the only thing which we should learn, how to think about Krishna with gratitude and ultimately with love. You know, first the gratitude should be there. We are by nature very ungrateful. By nature, we always dissatisfied, and we always demand, and we always come to God and say, you know, I don't have this and this and this. Why you didn't give it to me? Why? Why you're so cruel? Why you didn't? Perhaps you don't exist. It's actually the greatest offense. You know, there is not more offense than to say somebody, you don't exist. You know, when somebody, when we want to offend somebody, we just don't look at him as if he doesn't exist. You know, somebody is there and he's not there. So when people are not satisfied, ungrateful people are not satisfied, they just come to God and say, I think you don't exist. No, cannot be. You know, it's unbelievable how people can maintain this attitude, how they, especially scientists. Scientists, the most intelligent people. And scientists, they study, you know, life, and they study all this mechanism of the universe, and then, you know, after studying all these intricacies of life and everything, their end conclusion is that it all happened by chance. You know, somehow or other, it all happened by chance. This is ungrateful nature of human being. God doesn't exist. No way, God doesn't exist. So, the main point, of course, of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is how to remember about the Lord, in which mood, with gratitude, how to remember about the Lord. And for that, we should always, you know, Bhishmadev, he shows how to remember about the Lord. How he remembers about the Lord, we may not understand how the Lord is merciful to us. But when Bhishmadev is remembering about the Lord, he remembers how the Lord is merciful to Arjuna. How much love Krishna had to Arjuna, because for the sake of Arjuna, he was ready to break his own word. For the sake of Arjuna, because of his love to Arjuna, and because of his love to Bhishma, he was ready to break his word. So basically, the main lesson of this is that we should always try to remember how the Lord was kind toward others, by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, by reading Kada's stories, by meditating how his kindness manifested towards others. And then ultimately we will be able to understand how the Lord is kind to us. Because again, due to our nature, due to our psychology, it's sometimes difficult to understand. First of all, it's difficult to understand how the mercy of the Lord manifests in sometimes very cruel events of our life and very difficult events of our life. So, but this meditation is there, and it should start. This is how Bhagavatam explains this. It should start from meditating how Lord is extremely kind and merciful towards others. And then when this program is there, when this lens is there, when we see the mercy of the Lord, how it's overwhelming mercy of the Lord, then we may have a glimpse, he's also merciful to me too. And whatever I thought maybe not mercy is actually mercy. That's what we learn. Here what we see, Krishna, even though externally, what he did to Bhishma, and ultimately that's what he did to Bhishma, was very cruel. But internally, the idea behind this was just to glorify Bhishma. That even in this condition, he is thinking about me. And he's taking everyone, he's taking Maharaj Yudhishthira, he's arranging this whole intricate and difficult story, including the Rakshasa Charvaka, this whole story, only for this reason. He's only waiting when Maharaj Yudhishthira tells him, let's go to Bhishma Dev and let's see Bhishma Dev, to glorify his devotee before the end of his life. So, but again, the idea is to think and meditate how God is merciful towards others, towards whatever little devotion others have, and then apply it to our own life. For sure God is merciful towards me too. He will be merciful. He is somehow or other. Anyway, I thought about him for maybe 2 minutes. Without no stop, without breaking. At least I tried. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Anyway, that's the whole idea about this. We should try to think about the Lord. The onus is on us. The initiative should come from us. He will think about us, no doubt about it. Proportionately. As much as we think about him, he will think about us. So there is no loss in these attempts. Again and again, try to think about him and try to think how merciful he is, how kind he is, how magnanimous he is in his dealings. And, avoid self-pity. Self-pity and all these other feelings which actually distract us from thinking about the Lord with love are very unproductive. So don't get into this weakness of self-pity and grief and this and that. Lord is there. It is said, Srila Sanatana Goswami, he says that the first thing which we should do in the morning, while waking up, we should chant the verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Jayati jana nivaso devaki janmavada yadubara parishat svara dorbirasya nadharma stira chara vrijina gnah susmitam srimukhena vrajapura vanitanam Vardayam Kamadevam. And the whole meaning of this verse is that Krishna is present now. The pastimes of Krishna are going on, and you are part of these pastimes. The pastimes of Krishna is not something in the past, is not some stories, some histories. Krishna is there in your life. This is the reminder which we should have every day of our life and every minute of our life. Krishna is alive and he is reciprocating with us. Jayati jana nivaso devaki janmavada. He is there. Jayati is in present tense. Let this Krishna, who is known as the son of Devaki, be glorious, because he is always establishing dharma through his devotees. He is always enlivening both moving and non-moving living entities. And he is always ready to give the love. And Vardayan Kamadevam, he is always ready to increase the love. It all depends on you, on your mood. Krishna will reciprocate. So if you remind this and you remember that Lord is there, and his reciprocation is guaranteed according to our mood and relationship to him, then ultimately there will be success. And then ultimately we will be able to properly hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Because again, this whole canto is describing to us in which mood or frame of line we should, frame of mind we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So if this is the mood or understanding, how merciful is the Lord, how extremely merciful he is towards me, how personal he is towards me, as much as towards everyone else, and how grateful I should be towards him, then we will be able to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and Vardayan Kamadevam, ultimately the love of God will take over our heart, will overwhelm our heart. Instead of being sucharpita, overwhelmed by grief, we will be premarpita. We will be overwhelmed by love. So that's a little point. Thank you very much.